Mark chapter 13 today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 13, and the Bible says, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Aren't you impressed with this?'" I mean, it was a magnificent structure, the temple complex. It was huge, and Herod had actually put a lot of money into that thing. And everybody was in awe of the temple, thought it would stand forever. Two, and Jesus answering said to him, "See these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The whole thing's going to fall. Every single stone." And you know what? It is so important to pay close attention to every word in Scripture. Because the temple wasn't just demolished in 70 AD, but it was taken apart stone by stone, precisely as Jesus had said. So that's why it's so important to take the Word of God literally and not generalize. You know, some of these translations today are so free that they instead of translating the Bible in a word-for-word literal fashion, they presume to know what God meant by what he said, and they say that they translated in a thought-for-thought. Well, that would not work very well here if they watered down that, and many times those translations do water down the Word of God. And they put their own ideas. They become interpreters of Scripture instead of translators of Scripture, and it's not right. You take the Word of God literally, and you leave it be. Three, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, and the Mount of Olives is going to be the place where he launches, you might say, when he ascends back into heaven. It was a favorite spot of Jesus and his men when they were in the Jerusalem area. And Peter, James, and John, and Andrew have a question. Four, tell us, when shall these things be? When is the temple going to be demolished, as you said? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Are there going to be any signs that we can look to know that it's coming? Because obviously that's a major catastrophe, and probably going to mean that there's some danger involved. Five, Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." Always got to watch that no one deceives you. And how do you keep from being deceived? Stick to the Word of God. Know the Word of God and judge all things by the Bible. And this is what he's talking about specifically. Six, for many shall come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. You know, once Jesus is gone back to heaven, there's going to be a longing in some of his followers' souls to see him again. And so there are going to be those who take advantage of that longing by claiming to be him. But he says, don't be deceived. Seven, and when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. You know, the presence of wars is not a sign of the end times. Unfortunately, it's a normal part of this age and a normal part of this sinful world. And so he describes in verse 8, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows, and they've been with us from the very beginning, since man sinned. And certainly in the church age, all these things are, I wouldn't say commonplace, but they aren't a sign of the end. They are the norm in this world. all these terrible things. We've got a world full of bad things. 9, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before the rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And this is talking about specifically the apostles who were arrested and persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. And the word of God has to be spread throughout the entire world. That's what he commands us to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, to every creature. Give everybody a chance. 11, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. You know, the important thing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then when we're in a situation that we could not prepare for, God will give us the words that we need to say. Now, Jesus does not promise that he'll give us the words that will get us out of a jam. It might not. It might end up getting us killed. But he does promise to give us the words that we need to say and that the people need to hear. Whether they accept it or not, that's a different issue. 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Families turning on one another because they are separated in Christ. Some of the members of the family receive Jesus Christ and consequently live for him. And that doesn't make the other members of the family who reject Christ too happy. And so there's that spiritual rift that occurs between the saved and the unsaved, even in family members. And it's going to get so bad before the return of Christ that unsaved family members will be turning in their Christian relatives. Because at that point, it's not going to be very popular to be a Christian. And they will be persecuted because of it. Excuse me. 13. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. It's never been a popular thing to be a Christian who lives like Jesus and speaks the word of God and teaches the word of God. That's not a popular thing in this sinful world. Never has been, never will be. The only reason that the church gets along with the world at certain times in history is because they have watered down the truth. Otherwise, it wouldn't be that way. 14. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that reads understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. So there came a time in 70 AD when the Romans desecrated the temple of the Jewish religion. And that was a warning from Jesus that the end of the temple, the destruction of the temple and destruction of Jerusalem, was right around the corner. And you know what? That's going to happen again at the end of the age. There will be a rebuilt temple in the tribulation period before Jesus returns, and it's going to be desecrated again right before the Lord returns. 15. So Jesus says, when you see that happen, take off. Get as far away from there as you possibly can. 15. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. Don't worry about your possessions. Worry about your life. 16. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. Again, just leave everything that you own behind and be happy to escape persecution with the shirt on your back. 17. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Why? Because you're not going to be able to move very fast. 18. And pray that your flight be not in winter. Well, it's going to be hard to travel if you're slipping and sliding on the snow and the ice. 19. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created to this time, neither shall be. It's going to be the worst persecution of God's people ever. And it's going to occur right before Jesus returns. 20. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. He is going to cut those days short. And if he didn't, all of God's people would be wiped out. Verse 21. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. And don't believe some crackpot who's sitting in a cave in Afghanistan claiming to be Jesus, or some guy in New York City or in Texas who has a following and says, well, look, I'm the Messiah, I'm Christ. Now, don't buy into that. It's not true. Verse 22, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And it is possible to deceive the elect if they don't understand the Word of God. Now, I think a true Christian can be deceived, but I think they're going to come out of the deception if they're a true Christian, because they're going to get into the Word of God and they're going to discover the truth, and then they're going to have the discernment to reject that which is false. But even the elect can be deceived for a while. And certainly the non-Christian who have no knowledge of the Word of God and no discernment to understand it, they're sitting ducks for anybody who calls themselves a false Christ, especially if they can pull off a few tricks. That'll really deceive people. 24, verse 23, actually. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. He did his job, didn't he? He warned us ahead of time to beware. God warns us in order for us to avoid trouble and in order for us to avoid his punishment. 24, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. The sky is going to go berserk. Outer space, strange things. There's not going to be any order to this orderly universe anymore. The stars are going to be bouncing around. The sun and the moon are going to be bouncing around. And everybody's going to be looking up, wondering what in the world is going to happen next. The heavens are shaken. The Big Dipper no longer looks like the Big Dipper. The North Star, who knows where that'll be, maybe in the west or the south. But one thing is for certain, it's going to be a mess, and people are going to be in a panic. And they're going to be looking up. And when they do, 26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And they're going to get a glimpse of Jesus as he returns. Everyone is going to see him. 27. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Angelic messengers are going to become angelic transporters as they go and they pick up somehow, some way, all of the saved people that are alive on planet Earth when Jesus returns. Verse 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. That's true. It'd be similar to, as it is here in Wisconsin, you know, when the trees begin to bud, and you maybe begin to see a few blossoms, you know that it won't be long before the apples start popping out. It's going to be summer very soon. 29. So you, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the door. Boy, when you see the things in the sky start bouncing around, you know that Jesus Christ is about to return. It's not going to be long then. 30. Verily I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Well, the generation that was alive in our Lord's day did not pass before the temple was destroyed, which was one of their original questions. But the generation that is alive to see these signs occur, that will occur at the end of the age, they're going to be around when Christ returns too. Verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Never forget that. That is one of the greatest scriptures on the inerrancy and the sufficiency of the Word of God, and it comes right from Jesus. God's Word will never pass away. It never changes. It's going to persevere. You can count on it. If God has said it in His Word, you know it's going to come to pass, because there is no time limit on the Word of God where all of a sudden it's going to expire and it will no longer be true. Heaven and earth will pass away. It's going to expire, and it will be replaced by a new one after Jesus destroys this one. But His Word's never going to pass away. Really, other than the immortal soul of man, the Word of God is the only thing on earth that is eternal. 32. But of that day and that hour knows no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And you know, some people wonder at this statement, because if Jesus is God, then why wouldn't He know everything that the Father knows? Well, He is God. But when He became a man, according to the book of Philippians, He set aside some of the privileges of deity while He was here. He didn't set aside His deity, but He set aside some of the privileges of deity, and He lived here as a man by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how He did His miracles, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why how He spoke, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, no one knows either the day nor the hour when Jesus is going to return. That's why when somebody says Jesus is returning on this particular day or that particular day, every once in a while you have somebody who sets a date for the return of Christ, and they get all sorts of offerings for doing it. They're lying. They don't know. Who are you going to believe, them or Jesus, who said no one knows the day? And don't let them twist the scripture to say, well, yeah, but Jesus didn't really mean that. He meant what He said. And just leave it at that. Verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. There's a reason Jesus didn't tell us the day and the hour when He's returning, so that we will be prepared at all times. Because number one, no, we don't know the day and hour when He's going to return. But number two, we don't know the day and hour when we're going to return to Him. So we better be ready at all times, because this day, this hour, may be our last before we see Jesus. 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. You know, Jesus left marching orders for His people. Get to work. Work for Me. Get out the Word of God and live for Me. Verse 35, watch, therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at evening or at midnight, or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Watch, and the best way we can watch is not by staring up into the sky, but by being ready, by living the way He wants us to live. Why? Because of verse 36, lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping. You don't want Jesus to return and find you sloughing off. Or you don't want all of a sudden just die, all of a sudden you have a heart attack or a stroke or an aneurysm or something like that, and bang, you're in the presence of Jesus, and the last thing you did on earth was something sinful. You don't want to meet Jesus in that sort of a situation. 37, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. It wasn't just for the apostles, it was for everyone. The saved need to watch for the return of their Lord, and the unsaved, they better start thinking about that too, and get right with God through Jesus Christ.